Welcome to LifeRx Podcast, a show about living consciously in all aspects of your life with authenticity and integrity. I'm Eva Patel. Welcome again to the show. Hope you all had a great week. We've been getting great feedback from our fans, and we love it when you leave us messages and comments. We're looking for some new, more fan interaction, so if you have any comments or an idea, send it to us through an email or give us a call. We'd like to know how you live your authentic life. Today's show is about why is emotional intelligence more important than IQ? And our very special guest today is Sharon Griggs, a Managing Director of Del Mar Center in Strategic Leadership and Change. Sharon's an executive coach and an expert in leadership and employee engagement. Sharon's worked with companies large and small, helping them focus on attaining their goals in customer satisfaction, employee engagement, and financial success. I really believe that through the show, she's going to help you to attain your goals as well. In the interview, we're going to discuss something you may or may not have been aware of called emotional intelligence. Sharon's going to explain to us what emotional intelligence is and why it's more important than your IQ. So stay tuned and you can hear the entire interview after the break. Bear with the audio, my voice sounds a little hollow, but the content is definitely worth listening to.
Hi, Eva.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. And the topic's great, you know, why is emotional intelligence more important than IQ? So I think to hear more and more about the whole concept of emotional intelligence. Just what is it?
Well, can I start out by giving you a textbook definition?
Yes.
Well, emotional intelligence, according to the textbook, is it's your ability to recognize and understand emotions, and your skill at using this awareness to manage yourself and your relationships with others.
Oh, so why is emotional intelligence so important?
Well, that's a great question. It's because we now know that emotional intelligence, and we call that EQ for short, kind of like IQ, we call it EQ.
Right.
It's much more highly correlated with success than IQ is. So IQ is what we call a threshold competence. In other words, you got to have it, but it's not enough to make you a star. If you really want to be a star, you've got to have EQ.
Wow. So when does emotional intelligence come into play, like in everyday situations?
It comes literally in every everyday situation. So it shows up when you're making decisions, when you're managing your time or your stress or your anger. It shows up in the way you tolerate change, how you work with a team, every possible way you can communicate, whether it's, you know, just talking with a friend or giving a presentation, shows up the way you assert yourself, you know, for example, if you're in a restaurant and there's a wait person and how you assert yourself with that individual, and it shows up with the way you accept responsibility.
Wow. So when I think about IQ, I think about the brain. So EQ must be governed by the brain as well, or am I right there?
Absolutely. And, you know, I know you come from a medical background, and so I think you're going to really be interested in this. We use neuroscience to explain emotional intelligence. And obviously with neuroscience, this can get pretty complicated, but here's a simple description that I think will help bring it home for you. So imagine you're in a situation where you're standing out on the street and somebody shouts, "Here comes the dog." So when you hear that, "Here comes the dog," that's a stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you hear the stimulus, you get to assign a meaning to that stimulus. But it's going to be different depending on what's going on. So let's say that you've just lost your golden retriever puppy, and you're calling out for it to come home. That's one context compared with a different context, which is if somebody had told you that there was a pit bull with rabies running loose in the neighborhood.
So wow, yeah, definitely.
You're either going to go, here comes the dog, this is the greatest thing in the world, or, oh my gosh, I got to run in the house as quick as possible.
But is that kind of like a flight or fight thing?
Yeah, I guess it is. It is. And you know what? You just have a nanosecond between when that stimulus comes in and when you assign a meaning to it. It just happens so quickly that most people don't take the time to think about it. And that's what emotional intelligence is all about. It's sort of interrupting that time between when the stimulus comes in and the response goes out to think about it a little bit differently and start to tune up the way you relate to other people. So let me give you an example from business in the same sort of stimulus response pattern I just described. Depending on how well developed your emotional intelligence is, you could be in a situation where somebody starts to argue with you. And you could either say, well, he's a jerk and I'm going to prove to everybody else in the room that he's a jerk. Or you could decide that you're going to have a different meaning assigned to this and say, okay, I'm going to calmly ask him questions so that I understand his point of view.
Yeah, I can think of some people who would kind of react the first way with others and others who would react the second way. But that's just part of the personality, isn't it?
Well, I think that's what we've thought traditionally. But if you start to think of it in terms of EQ, the really cool thing is that EQ, unlike IQ, can be changed. So with IQ, you're pretty much stuck with what you're born with. But EQ can improve. So we're not going to just say, oh, that's part of their personality and it will never change. We're going to say, this is EQ, and if this individual decides to work on improving his or her EQ, it can get better. So how does that happen? This is explained by neuroscience as well. So when you start to really focus on something, and let's say your focus is on, when I hear somebody start to argue with me, I'm going to have a different reaction than I've had in the past. I'm going to have a kinder, gentler reaction.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually chemical and physical changes in the brain that take place.
Okay.
So as an example, remember when you first learned to drive a car?
Yep.
It was really overwhelming, wasn't it, to try to remember absolutely everything you had to do and all the things you had to look out for?
I definitely remember that. It was a stick shift in London, so that was the extra things I had to learn.
Oh, I can imagine that would have been horrible. Well, now when you get in your car, you drive without thinking, right?
Absolutely.
So the same thing happens if you want to change a pattern of behavior. You go back to the example of where somebody's arguing with you, and let's say you typically raise your voice and you become defensive. Well, if you decide that you really want to adopt a new pattern of behavior so that when somebody starts to argue with you that instead of arguing back, you take a deep breath and ask more questions about their point of view, the very act of focusing on that new behavior and trying to practice it, it's going to create those chemical and physical changes in your brain that will allow you to have a new set of behaviors. And those new behaviors are going to become second nature over time, just like you drive without thinking these days. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my God. That's absolutely amazing. That's wonderful. And it's wonderful that you can decide to make that change and you can start making it. And each behavior that takes you there takes you on further along. So what else do we need to know about this EQ, Sharon?
Well, I think if you're going to start to think about it, you need to realize that there are four basic skills. So there's self-awareness, and that's where everything starts. And unless you're self-aware, you're not going to go anywhere with developing your EQ. So start out with self-awareness, and then it's self-management, then social awareness, and finally relationship management.
Wow. So can you explain each of these in a little bit more detail for our listeners?
Sure. Let's start with self-awareness, which I said is the foundation. Self-awareness is your ability to recognize your emotions and accurately recognize them as they're happening to you. And to also understand what your general tendencies for responding are. So, you know, to understand, first of all, that maybe when somebody starts to argue, that your first reaction is to point out that they're a jerk. Mm-hmm. So that's what self-awareness is about.
Okay.
Self-management is when you use that awareness to choose what you say and to start to direct your behavior in a positive manner instead of a negative manner.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So then you move to social awareness, and that's recognizing the emotions and the perspectives that other people bring to the party. So it's a skill of understanding where another person's coming from, even
okay.
if you don't agree with it.
Okay. And being open to listening to it.
Yeah, exactly. And the last thing is relationship management. And that's using your awareness of your emotions and the emotions of the other people that you're interacting with to manage your interactions together in a successful, positive way. So I guess it's important to note that effective relationship management doesn't mean you have to be nice in every single situation, but there are situations where you're going to want to be tough, and that's going to be the emotionally intelligent thing to do. The important thing is to realize your emotions, their emotions, and how you can bring them together in a way that's productive, that's going to move your relationship and the objective you're trying to accomplish forward.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. So how can we bring that down to earth a little bit for all of us? What's the way we can do that?
Well, you know, I'm an executive coach, and we actually do assessments on people to figure out what their IQ is. So let's just pretend for a minute that we're going to do an assessment of your EQ.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't know I was going to be EQ'd today, but that's fine.
That's the fun of a podcast. You don't know exactly what's coming down
exactly.
the pike for you. Well, we have a series of questions related to each of those four skills that we ask. So the questions we would ask around self-awareness are, is Eva confident in her abilities? Does she acknowledge her shortcomings? Does she blame other people for difficult circumstances? Is she aware of her emotions as they happen? Does she recognize how her behaviors affect other people? And does she understand how others influence her emotional state? So, you know, that's why emotionally intelligent people know they have to get rid of toxic people in their lives. They don't stay in bad relationships where people have a negative impact on their emotional states.
Well, that's funny that you mentioned that because obviously we've all been around negative people, and I know for me, when I'm around negative people, there's like heaviness in my heart, kind of like a dense energy that pulls me down. And a while back, I had a friend who had certain behaviors and habits that kind of influenced me in a negative way. And after a while, I had to make a conscious decision to cut this relationship out of my life, and because it was really affecting my emotional state. And there was a little bit of guilt and stuff that helped made me stay hang on. So I tried my best to try to change her situation and went out of my way to be loving, kind, compassionate, you know, do all the good things that a good friend would. But after a while, I knew intuitively I had to cut the cord. It was almost like I realized that you can only reach out and help those who can help themselves. And then when you're falling into these relationships where you're not really being true to yourself, it's just time to let go. And it's difficult. It's difficult to do that. But I definitely feel to be true to myself is much more important than to try and keep fake and phony relationships.
Well, you're absolutely right. And you're confirming what I've always known about you, Eva, which is you're an individual with very high EQ.
Thank you.
I love working with you so much. Well, the second set of questions that I would ask would be around self-management. And here's the list of those questions. Can Eva be counted on? Does she handle stress well? Can she embrace change early on? Does she raise her voice when she's upset? Does she tolerate frustration without getting upset? Does she consider many options before making a decision? Does she brush people off when something's bothering her? Does she strive to make the most out of situations, whether they're good or they're bad? And finally, does she resist the desire to act or speak when it's not going to help the situation?
So how would I react to that one? Well, with years of training, it's almost like training your EQ. It's like working out your muscles of your head. And I have to say I'm much better with all of those. But, yes, of course, I blew my whistle in my heydays. But now, obviously, with a little bit of experience behind me, things are different. But for our listeners, I'll say, you know, say we're in a situation that's quite bad, you know, like our boss isn't very nice, and I'm sure most of the listeners can relate to this one, that you have a bad boss that kind of makes your life so difficult and makes you counterproductive. You know, the understanding and that knowing that you have the choice to make a change in this is a great beginning. So it's that we, as humans, we have a choice. And, you know, as you said, the EQ is about making choices and changing. So I know in my life what really helped me elevate my EQ was something so simple that encompasses self-management for me was like the serenity prayer. So, you know, the serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
I love that prayer.
I have to say, I've got it like engraved in little pebbles and everything, and they're all over my place, on my desk and everywhere. And I find that how we react to a situation and how we handle stress is how we grow. And, of course, there's times when we react to everything, but reaction gets us nowhere. I find that really what we're doing is react means we're basically just taking the acting scene and reacting to it. And I don't think that's really the best way to deal with it, because life isn't a dress rehearsal. It is as is. So really understanding that we have the choice to make the changes that we want to change, and certain people don't belong in our lives, and we have to make that choice and manage our lives better. I'm sure you can second this, Sharon, as far as, you know, because you do executive coaching and I think you're wonderful at what you do, that people sometimes don't want to address their own issues and they want to project it on others. And I think true leaders of the world have to have a very high EQ as well as an IQ to really move in the right direction.
You are so right. You are so right. And I see that every day.
I know. I can imagine. So are there questions about the other two areas of the EQ skills?
Oh, you know there are. The social awareness questions, I have a list of them here. The first one is Eva open to feedback? And, you know, Marshall Goldsmith, who's got the reputation of perhaps being the most famous and best executive coach in the country, says that when somebody asks you for feedback, you just shut up and say thank you. That's the best thing you can do. You've got to be open to feedback and not argue back. So the next question is, does she notice other people's feelings? Is she withdrawn in social situations? I've never seen you that way, by the way.
Most people that know me know that I'm not shy.
Does she pick up on the mood in the room? And does she hear what the other person is really saying? You know, have you ever been in a situation where you ask somebody, are you all right? And they say, oh, yes, I'm fine. And you know that they're not.
Yeah, I have to say that's happened to me in many situations, and sometimes even in close inner circle situations. So that's to me like a sixth sense kicking in, when you kind of intuitively sense that something's wrong. And I've come across people that I call them kind of like sleeping souls, and when they're in their own little worlds, they're almost unconscious and they're not really aware of what's going on. I find them quite withdrawn and depressed. But the best way that I've dealt with that is to, in life, realize that sometimes we have to observe things without absorbing, you know. So what I mean by that is not judging it or running it through your own filters, but just observing the situation. And then in that situation, obviously, if there's something that you can do to touch another soul and help them, whether it's in a business situation or a personal situation, just using a little bit of that loving, compassionate kindness, I think that that's it's like one of the best things that you can give to another person, you know, touching them from inside and then just helping out. And yet there's times when, you know, you starkly have to just let things be, and it's not really your you know intuitively. That's when the sixth sense has to kick in.
Yeah, and that's why you're the queen of emotional intelligence.
Thank you.
It's really true. You're great at it. Well, the last set of questions have to do around the piece of relationship management. And the questions are, does she get along with other people? Can she handle conflict effectively? Does she communicate clearly and effectively? And a little aside, when I was getting ready for this podcast, I pulled out the speech that President Reagan made after the Challenger tragedy, because it's one of the best examples of a leader communicating in a way that demonstrated emotional intelligence. And I have a copy of the speech here. So would it be okay if I read?
Oh, sure. I have a vague recollection of it, what it was, but I don't really remember it. So that would be lovely. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, they called Reagan the great communicator, and so I'm not going to do the job that he did, but I'll give it my best try here. So he started out by saying, Nancy and I are pained to the core by the tragedy of the shuttle Challenger. We know we share this pain with all the people in our country. Perhaps we've forgotten the courage it took for the crew of the shuttle, but they were aware of the dangers. And they overcame them, and they did their jobs brilliantly. We mourn seven heroes. We mourn their loss as a nation together. They were daring and brave. And they had that special grace, that special spirit that says, give me a challenge, and I'll meet it with joy. They had a hunger to explore the universe and discover its truths. They wished to serve, and they did. They served all of us. And I want to say something to the school children of America who are watching the live coverage of the shuttle takeoff. I know it's hard to understand, but sometimes painful things like this happen. It's all part of the process of exploration and discovery. It's all part of taking a chance and expanding man's horizons. The future doesn't belong to the faint-hearted. It belongs to the brave. The crew of the Space Shuttle Challenger honored us by the manner in which they lived their lives. We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning, as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of earth to touch the face of God. I got chills just reading that.
I have to say, just as you finished that, my hair standing on end there, that was so powerful. And I think it is very difficult, because it's like, okay, do you stop the challenges? Do you stop being a hero? Do you stop doing things? Because, yes, you are at risk, you know, and those brave heroes really showed us. And you know, today with all the things that are going on in the world, you know, yes, there are people who are not leading with soul, and there are those who are. And I think we just have to commend those people that have died in the line of duty, that have also really touched the souls of others, and they've kind of put their life on the line to help others.
You know, I think the single most wonderful characteristic a person can have is courage.
Yeah. And courage is built. It's not given to somebody overnight. It's something that you've had to work on. Strength and courage is it's like a muscle that we have to build. It's something that we have to work on daily. And it's kind of sad, because, you know, I know that, you know, now in today's day, so much emphasis is given on the exterior that they don't realize this inner core of us is such a powerhouse. You know, that's where our strength and our courage and our bravery is born. It's like it's given birth there. And, you know, something like this is sad what happened, but they really did, you know, touch the face of God, you know, and they touched many, many lives. Even, you know, here we are 25 years later, it's still so, so deep in our hearts.
Yeah, and you know what? Everybody has a chance to be courageous in your everyday life, because, you know, sometimes it just takes a lot of courage to go get that health checkup that you're afraid of getting.
Yes.
Or it might be courageous to say what you really feel to somebody,
yeah,
whether it be something that's negative or positive.
Yeah, and I have to say that on that note, just recently, I mean, it took me 47 years to really get there, but I learned to say no and not have to give any excuses. And I freed myself of these burdens of being invited to places and things that I don't really want to be in. I don't need to give an excuse anymore. And I tell you what, it was one of the most liberating things to do for me. I know it sounds so silly and small, but sometimes just learning where to use your strength and your courage, and I'd much rather use that energy rather than go out, you know, partying and, you know, trying to be in the social scene where you know you're really gaining nothing, and to keep that knowledge to do something like this, you know, and or to write a book or do something that I know I'm going to be touching lives. That, to me, that's using my EQ powerfully.
Yeah. Well, it took some courage for me to do a podcast with you, if you want to know the truth.
But you're so good. Thank you so much for being here. This was great. And, thank you for sharing that story about the Challenger, because sometimes things like this are great reminders for us to reach out and touch and realize that, you know, inside each one of us is a hero that's ready to take the next step towards strength and courage and move forward.
Yeah. Well, I've got a few more questions here just to put a wrap on it, but I don't want to overlook them because I have a few more things I want to say here.
Definitely. Go ahead.
So the next question is, does she show that she cares about what other people are going through? And I want to tell you a story about an experiment I do when I'm coaching groups. I take a group and I divide them in half, and I separate them so they're not hearing the instructions. You know, so one half of the group, I say, I want you to imagine that you've just had a great success at work and your supervisors come in and congratulated you and maybe even given you a bonus. And then the other half of the group, I say, imagine that your supervisor has just come in and chewed you out for not doing what they expected you to do. So you've got one happy group and one unhappy group just in their imaginary mental state. And then you give them a simple little test to do that involves numbers. I say it's simple. It doesn't take a lot of smarts, but it does take focus. When we score those tests, the people who are in the happy mood will invariably score so much higher than the unhappy people. It's amazing. And so what does that tell you about the effect that your supervisor has on you and the quality of your work, depending on whether they're nice to you or they're mean to you?
Wow, that's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's just common sense, but, you know, lots of people don't think about how the way they make an effect on people just by the behavior that they have or their behavior, how it affects other people.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
I just love when you can do a little learning laboratory like that.
Yeah, that's actually a really good little test. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So the other questions, and we're almost at the end of these questions here, does she show sensitivity to another person's feelings in order to manage interactions successfully? Does she address people directly in difficult situations? Does she explain herself to others? And does she learn about others in order to get along better with them? And that's the last question, but I have to tell you a story about that, about people who really genuinely care about learning to understand other people in order to build relationships. Several years ago, I worked for a VP who was the single most emotionally unintelligent person on the entire planet. And one evening, he took our whole leadership team out to a really fancy dinner, and we were supposed to do some team bonding. And this VP, I'm going to call him Jerry, he kicked the dinner conversation off by asking people to go around the room and share the most interesting professional experience they'd ever had. And so he started out with the engineering director, whose name was John. And John told this great story. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was a great story, and he told it with excitement and colorful language. And so then we went around the room. There were six of us. There weren't 100 of us. There were just six of us. And after the sixth person talked, Jerry came back to John and said, "So now, John, it's your turn to tell us about your most interesting professional experience." And right then and there, everybody choked on their wine as they realized that Jerry hadn't listened to a single thing anybody'd said. He was just going through the motions of what he thought he ought to do, but he didn't care at all. And his total lack of emotional intelligence, it just resulted in the whole bonding evening backfiring on him. So
that's amazing. Yeah. Isn't that? And you know what? Even in social situations, I've seen that some people feel they need to start a conversation and they haven't heard a thing that you're saying. And you do just feel like, are they there or are they on another planet? Oh, I just repeated that, you know. It does make you kind of think what people are thinking and doing. And I do believe that, you know, to get anywhere in life today, I mean, to me, degrees and education and stuff, it's available to everybody. Everybody can go out and get an education. But to actually work on their EQ simultaneously with their IQ is such a big input. So Sharon, thank you so much. We're going to have to start wrapping up now, but this has been such a great show. I so enjoyed having you on the show, and there was so much wonderful information that you were able to share with me and our listeners today, and we may have to do another show on something because I think there's so much more we can talk about. Thanks.
Well, I'd love to. It's been my pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you so much again, and yes, I keep your questions coming in, everybody, because I would love to have Sharon back on the show. Thanks so much, Sharon.
Okay. Bye for now, Eva.
Bye.
Well, that's it for the show today, everyone. We really hope you enjoyed our interview with Sharon, and we look forward to bringing her back on the show so that we can have another very interesting conversation. And if you want more information about Sharon Griggs, we'll put up her link, her links on our information on our website at liferxpodcast.com. And I'd like to say thank you again, Sharon, for a lovely interview. And I'd also like to thank our listeners because we do this show for you. And it gives us great pleasure that people like you are enjoying the show. And don't forget, you can participate in the show as well. So send us your email to liferxpodcast@gmail.com or call us at 415-322-8777. You can also leave a comment on our Facebook page or you can tweet us at LifeRx Podcast. We look forward to all your feedback. So until next time, goodbye and namaste.